Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. And we want to mention to you that there's a website that features the lawsuits of Steve Bozell, among other things. Good website, www.angelfire.com. Well, I'll give it to you. I'll give you the whole address here after I explain to you what I'm talking about. We did the hour the other day on how many lawsuits Steve Bozell. If you're a longtime listener of the show, you know that Steve has. He's a guy that sues a lot of people. He sues a lot of people, and for a variety of reasons. And we're compiling those lawsuits. Well, a listener of ours has done it and has done a pretty comprehensive job with a very readable review of all these lawsuits on a website, www.angelfire.com/CA4/Phil Henry. That's angelfire.com/CA4/Phil Hendry, PHILHENDRIE. And it's actually not a bad little site. It's got some reviews of Steve's lawsuits and some other stuff on there. And I understand that Bill Kiesling's getting his Shuck and Jive site going again. So that's pretty cool. And there's a Phil's parody page, there's a parody page that features some of our stuff. And there's another guy that does a review of all of our characters. So this is a way of getting acquainted with the show if you're not yet acquainted with the show. 1-800-449-8686. Los Alamos, high winds are expected to return to New Mexico today. There are 100 homes that have been burned. 18,000 people have been evacuated. This is in Los Alamos and White Rock in New Mexico, where a forest fire that apparently was started by the Forestry Service as a controlled burn got out of control. And now they've got themselves some problems down there with this fire. And living in California, we know what that's about. In fact, we're coming up on the fire season, summer, late summer. Generally, we have problems with that. So right now, Art Griego is down in Mike Schaefer, my producer, is telling me that Art Griego is in just outside of Los Alamos, New Mexico right now. We wanted to talk to him, find out what. Where are you right now, Art? If you can tell us, give us some idea as to where you are at this time.
Well, I'm near Los Alamos, probably about 5-6 miles away from the city center, and just doing the very best I can to monitor the situation.
Where are you?
I'm in a control center. We have a communications center set up here. And right now I'm just trying to get the information out to as many people as I can. It's amazing because I have flown over the area, Phil. And
yeah, let me give people some information. You're a pilot, right?
I do fly as a pilot, and I have worked as a fire maintenance specialist.
A fire maintenance specialist?
That's correct.
So you can take a look at how people are fighting a fire. You know whether they're doing it well.
Yeah, you generally review the area and find out if they're fighting the fire good or not. I have flown over the area, and there isn't much security. There isn't as much security surrounding the Los Alamos lab, Phil, and really that's what we're talking about. Los Alamos has the largest munitions and testing facility in the world, and the threat of terrorism in the area and in this modern age is very real. I would assume that they have looked into the cause of this fire, and it's possible that you need to look at that. And there's a lot of things.
What are you saying? I thought the fire was started by...
Well, they're saying that right now, Phil, but you need to understand that Los Alamos, and if you hold on for a minute, Phil.
I'm sorry?
Hold on for just a minute. Okay, I'm talking with a variety of people in the area who are giving me input.
You're talking to me about the Los Alamos lab. Everybody's familiar with Los Alamos, the fact that nuclear munitions testing is done there. The Alamogordo blast originated it. The scientists were at Los Alamos. So we know that. But the fire was supposedly started by the Forestry Service.
And I don't doubt that. I'm saying that right now the Los Alamos munitions lab is compromised. And there are a lot of, I think, a lot of questions surrounding how well they're going to protect this area. And was this fire an accident, or was this something that is a little bit more than an accident? I think we have to look into that.
All right. Art Griego is there in Los Alamos, New Mexico, where there is fire right now raging. Can you give us the extent of the damage right now, Art?
I'm sorry, Phil?
Can you give us the extent?
I'm monitoring two radios right now, and I also have a phone call into Bob Shepard, and you know Bob.
Yes, I do.
I'm sorry, I'm having to wait for my phone. My cell phone's going, too. There's a lot of stuff going on here.
All right. Give me the extent of the damage there.
Well, right now, Phil, we've had probably 7,000 people in there that they've had to get there.
Could you turn your radio down, too? Turn the radio down?
Yeah. 7,000 homes. Population about 7,000. 15,000, Phil.
15,000 what?
That's what we're saying right now, but I don't have an idea as to when we're going to be over there.
Art, are you talking to me or...
Hold on. Roger, I got that guy over there. Right.
Art?
Yeah, I'm awfully sorry, Phil. We've got a lot of stuff going on. 18,000 people have been evacuated. 4,500 acres have burned, and we've got 100 homes right now that have burned.
What do you suspect here? Just spit it out. You're saying...
I am telling you, Phil, that I suspect it's possible that terrorists would want to go after the Los Alamos lab. And I'm doing everything that I can, and I know that you know Bob Shepherdin, along with, of course, Lindy Nelson and all the other guys over there who worked with me at the lab. We're all doing the best we can to try to protect our country.
What makes you suspicious that this might not have been started by the Forestry Service? Are they fighting the fire?
I don't know. Standard practice calls. Right now, Phil, I'm seeing a lot of choppers. I flew over the area. I see a lot of choppers dropping what they tell me is water. Now, I happen to know that you fight forest fires from fixed-wing airplanes, dropping water from a fixed-wing airplane, not helicopters. And I'm seeing a lot of helicopters. You would expect to see more firefighting equipment with Dalmatians sitting up near where the guy drives it. Water puts fire out, Phil. And if the choppers are dropping water, and also the helicopters, of course, but if the choppers are, why is the fire still going? Okay.
Say that again.
I'm telling you, water puts out fires, right?
Yes.
All right, if these choppers have been dropping water, why is the fire still going? That's number one. Number two, fixed-wing aircraft. I don't see them. Number three, I don't see any fire trucks with Dalmatians. Generally, at a fire, and certainly when you're talking about a fire that threatens the number one munitions lab and testing facility in the world, you would expect to see at least one fire truck with a Dalmatian and a guy in a yellow hat. None of that is happening right now. And hold on for a minute, Phil.
Okay, we're talking with Art Griego. He's at Los Alamos, just outside of the city, at a communications facility that is set up for him there. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. As he's talking and speculating with us here, and you can hear what he is up against there in the communications lab, the fact that this fire is around a very... Many of you may not be aware of the fact that this Los Alamos fire is around a highly sensitive area, the Los Alamos testing facilities and munitions labs. During World War II, this was the primary site where American scientists worked to develop the atomic bomb. And ever since then, it has been a highly secured area and certainly one that is pivotal to the defense of our country. Now we have a fire raging, and Art, you do suspect, you're saying not that there is terrorism, you're suspecting what?
I'm suspecting, Phil, that the terrorists could take advantage of this and could certainly, and why don't I see, you'd expect to see, and the fire's been going on for a week. That's the other thing.
What about that?
You generally are going to be able to put a fire out. It won't take you a week to put a fire out. You generally see firefighters, Phil, wearing yellow hats and carrying axes. I don't see that. If you recall the film Backdraft with Robert De Niro, he wore a yellow hat. Also, very close we are to Roswell, New Mexico. And I don't need to tell you what that represents.
Now, Roswell is the area where aliens were supposedly discovered. Are you suspecting some national security situation?
I can tell you that, in my experience, you don't have this many coincidences. You've got the Los Alamos Munitions Lab being threatened. You have the Roswell, New Mexico tie-in. There are no Dalmatians on the fire trucks. And... I'm not getting any information. I can't get any information from anybody, and it's starting to really tighten my jaws, and it makes me wonder.
Who have you contacted?
I contacted Bob Shepperton. You know Bob. He usually tells me everything. He won't tell me a thing. I've talked to Betty Ambers. I've talked to the guys over at the Volunteer Fire District. All of them very tight-lipped about this. And again, and the other thing, Phil, is I think that I worry about people are worried about civilian property. Hello, we've got the Los Alamos lab.
Well, what, they have evacuated the people.
Yeah, they've evacuated people. But why? I even called Art Bell, and I find out his show's off the air. What's that all about? So you've got a lot of...
Right now, Art probably doesn't want to be bothered with that. Let me go to a phone call. Gainesville, Florida, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I was just calling in reference to the gentleman on the line who's out at Los Alamos.
Yes, ma'am.
And his fear was that, one, they're not may not really be attempting to put the fire out because they're dropping what appears, as he says, water from helicopters, and that isn't what he thinks they should be doing.
I don't see that right now.
I live in Florida. We had really, really bad forest fires out here.
But you use water to put fires out, and if they're using water, why isn't the fire out?
Because it does not go out that quickly, sir. It took weeks and weeks for them to get the fire out. Here with fire, if you've ever had fire in a fire pit in your backyard,
right,
it can take hours and hours and sometimes days.
Let me
to
ask
get
the lady
fire out using tons and tons of water.
Let me ask the
it
lady
is not
a question.
An easily solved solution.
Why have they evacuated the city? Because
they evacuated
these are people that can help put
Florida.
The fire out. They can help put the fire out.
No, they can't, sir.
Well,
no,
ma'am, in
they
Frontier
Times... They can't
be worried
about the people. They have to be worried about the fire. In Florida, they evacuated the entire county of Flagler County.
I can tell you that they used to have a thing called a bucket brigade, Phil. You can get people down on the fire line. A four-year-old child can carry a bucket. A 10-year-old
well,
can carry a hose.
Maybe in the 1930s, that's what they did, but
well,
they don't do that now.
I'm worried about it in the Dalmatian question.
And the Dalmatian question?
Yes.
All right, ma'am, thank you for your call. 1-800-4... Would you turn him off? It's really a...
So, what did you say something? I want
to... Thank you. I mean, that is wild. We have on the line with us from Los Alamos, Art Griego, who is at a communications site. He thinks this fire near the Los Alamos testing lab is suspicious. He feels that it is a highly secure area, obviously. What's there a fire doing around Los Alamos? Why is it so close to Roswell, New Mexico? And if indeed they're trying to put the fire out, why are they using helicopters instead of fixed-wing aircraft? And if water puts out fire and they're dumping water on the fire, why isn't the fire going out? He has also reported to us, and I know, Mike, you were with him earlier, there are no fire trucks with any Dalmatians and no... buddy wearing yellow hats. We're going to be talking with him further. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show at a communication site in New Mexico is Art Griego. He is a pilot as well as a fire maintenance specialist talking about the Los Alamos fire. So your suspicion right now is, A, that the fire could have been started by terrorists. Also, they've evacuated the town too quickly, right?
I believe so, Phil, because these are 18,000 people that you evacuated, and they could be putting the fire out right now. I am staying here in the Roswell, New Mexico. In 1948, it is possible that some craft from another world landed here. Why now? Why a fire now? These are questions that no one can answer for me. I'm sure we all remember the bucket brigades from the 19th century where the people would gather and put fires out, and that has been... something that has been going. How come nobody's doing that right now?
Nobody passing buckets.
No one. No one passing buckets or wearing overalls.
All right, let's go to Lake Elsinore on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah, this is Mike. I'm in Elsinore. You know,
yes.
You got to put this guy on a bucket. Send him right out there with a bucket right now.
Oh, what? I don't understand.
Oh, if you want a bucket brigade, why don't you take a bucket right out there? Those firemen are fighting their butts off right now.
Look it. Why is the fire not out? And what about the questions that I've asked about this?
Fixed-wing aircraft?
Yeah. Usually
I'm in Southern California. I watch these forest fires all the time, and I see them put out with helicopters all the time. With they carry buckets off their rigging, they drop into a lake.
Have you been near a fire?
Yes, no. I have.
Okay, where?
In Santa Barbara. Well, you remember Wonderland, Michael Jackson's resort, when it was about to burn
down? I was there. I'm talking about a forest fire, not some guy's cabana.
No, this was a forest.
I'm not
on
worried
a hill.
About a guy's pool house, all right?
No, this was a forest.
Well, what is it you're saying? All I'm trying to do is tell you that I don't see any firefighting equipment. And I'm talking about Dalmatians and
there's
stuff like that.
You're blind.
What about Dalmatians?
You're blind.
No Dalmatians?
That's a Budweiser commercial, buddy.
All right, pal. Another guy that doesn't know anything about fighting fires, Phil.
All right, this Dalmatian thing's important, huh?
Absolutely.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Hollywood, Florida on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Phil, am I on? Hello.
You're on the air, yes.
I'm on the air?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm talking to this gentleman who talks about a Dalmatian being on a truck.
Yes, sir.
Down in Hollywood, Florida, we have Doberman Pinschers and Rottweilers. These people steal fire equipment while the guys are fighting the fire. So a Dalmatian is inconsequential about fighting a the fire.
They're not up
Secondly,
on the trucks.
They wear red helmets. So what's with the yellow helmet?
What about the Dalmatians?
What about the Dalmatians? They're great. They make a great movie for kids.
They're
what
not
about?
On any firefighting equipment that I'm looking at.
Where?
Right here in Los Alamos.
In Los Alamos?
Yes.
Well, you know, when I was a kid and we had fires...
Viejo on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Who is this idiot?
Listen, lady, I don't see it. And the buckets, too, Phil. Out there.
You're on the air, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yes, huh? You know, this guy is sitting there giving commentary on a fire. Why doesn't he get a bucket and get a yellow hat
what are you
on
doing?
And get some food for the Dalmatians?
What are you doing? What are you doing to help our country?
You know what? I get volunteer my time.
You volunteer to what?
Well, I volunteer for sick people like you.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that most of what I'm doing right now is trying to keep you in touch with the situation.
It doesn't do any good. You're there. You're doing nothing but getting on the...
I'm telling you that we've got the national... when the national security's threatened.
Well, maybe you ought to call the White House.
Lady, they don't want to take my phone call, okay?
I don't blame
them. All I'm saying... What do you know about fighting fires?
I was a fireman.
What do you know about fighting fires?
I was a fireman.
You're a fireman?
Well, a firewoman.
Where was that?
In Los Angeles County.
You worked for L.A. County?
I did.
All right, what did you do?
I fought fires. What do you think I did?
They didn't hire any women.
You know what?
They didn't hire women at that time.
And you're the authority, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
They were not hiring any women. Okay, so I don't know what to tell you, baby. I'm here, you're there. Go take a swim in the ocean.
What else, honey, Roger?
Roger. I got a... Yeah, that's right.
Okay, thanks for your call, ma'am. 1-800-449-8686. Fort Myers on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Fort Myers, hello.
Hi, how you doing? Listen, my question is, if this guy that's out there in Los Alamos isn't an alien himself, I mean...
I'm talking about trying to get the firefighting out here.
Brush fires all the time, and fighting one for a week, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks isn't unusual.
Why can't they get the fire out?
That's not unusual for a forest fire. It's not like you go out there with a couple of fire trucks and put it out. I mean, you're talking about a very complicated issue.
Have you seen fire axes? You know what I mean by a red hat?
I live in an area where we have brush fires. We have serious brush
right,
fires
exactly.
out here.
But you don't live in an area where there's a munitions lab, and you don't live in an area where there is a large testing facility.
Well, that's definite cause for concern, but,
right.
you know, the
so
firemen don't
saying.
Look like the firemen do on TV and Dalmatians. I've never seen a Dalmatian on any fire equipment down here.
Well,
I
have.
That's kind of shaky stuff there.
I don't know, but I've seen them. Okay? And what you're talking about is the need for firefighting equipment that people can use right now. No bucket brigade. No.
That's not the way they fight fires these days. You don't take the civilians out there and put their lives
we need to get a hand pump and a well.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Previously on the Phil Henry Show.
Los Angeles on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, Ted, I'm very curious. What restaurant is it that you own?
Ted's in Beverly Hills.
Ted's in Beverly Hills, right.
Yeah.
Right. And what makes you the authority on telling people how to behave and how to act rich when you, you know, just came into new money?
You people who buy your lottery tickets, okay?
Don't refer to me as you people.
Well,
okay, I have money. You don't need to talk to me.
Yeah, you got money because you hit the pick six, right?
No, I have money because my family, I'm 21, you're right, I have none of my own money.
When did your dad hit Powerball? When did your father hit Powerball? When did your dad win at Powerball? What year?
What is Powerball?
It's the lottery that your father entered in Nebraska.
See, my dad never won the lottery. He came from nothing, and I have everything now.
You have everything.
Yeah, I go to USC. I drive a BMW. I'm the luckiest girl. I have everything I could ever hope for.
Then you and I understand each other.
No, please don't put us on the same level, Ted. Like, I really honestly feel I have a lot more maturity and a lot more to offer than the petty things that you're throwing out on the air.
That you and I come from the same kind of money, and these people are trying to usurp our position. They're acting like fools in expensive restaurants.
You know what? At first, I'll have to tell you, and I'll be real honest with you. It was a problem for me because I was like, ew, they haven't had money their whole lives.
How dare they walk in this restaurant and act like an ass? That's what I'm saying.
But then it's people like you who have money, who get on the air and who say things like this, makes us look just as bad.
That is totally awful. I think what you're saying is totally awful.
You're embarrassed by these people who have new money, Ted, and if they're not good enough, it's the people.
You said the magic word there. When you said you walked into a restaurant and you saw some of these people come into the restaurant who were new money and you went, ooh.
That is the rallying cry of every rich man or woman in Beverly Hills.
That's our rallying cry. Ooh.
Ted, I go out in Beverly Hills, and I go out with the best of the best as well, and I have a lot of friends in that circle of friends.
Do you know some of the people that I know? You know the people I know?
I don't know who you know, Ted. Do you want to play the name game? Because that's not what your argument's about.
Do you want to know who I know?
I don't, Ted, honestly, okay. it's not important to me. But what I'm saying is, I know people. Ted, that's great. I do, too, but that's not important. It's who you are and not who everybody else that you know is.
I'm going to take a roll of the dice here. I'm going to roll the dice. I'm going to take a chance. All right? You ready?
Sure, Ted.
Do you want to meet for a drink?
I would love to meet you for a drink, Ted.
You would, wouldn't you?
I would love to meet you for a drink.
I'd like you to come.
Just to see what a jackass you are. Ted, honestly, I'm so embarrassed for you. She's interested in me.
Ted, I'm embarrassed for you. Why are you interested?
You know why this conversation interests me, and I have to tell you, I just started listening to KFI like 2 months ago.
Right.
And this has really intrigued me because you have repeatedly said, you know, people like me and those new money people. Well, Ted, when did you come into money, Ted?
Let me tell you when I came into money. Back when I was 17, my father, he put a cashier's check in my account for $20 million, and he said, I want you to do something with that. I'm worth $25 million today. And
Ted,
I
Ted will pin
so
a rose
happy.
On your nose. And
oh,
you
so you made a
big.
Your father gave you $20 million, right?
Yeah.
And now, 30 years later, you're worth
Ted,
$25 million.
Ted, my dad wouldn't give it to me, Ted. He would show me what the meaning of earning a dollar is. Exactly.
I'd like you to come to Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'd like you to come to Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'll buy you a drink. We'll have a steak. Now, I got to tell you something. And because I'm wealthy, I do require this of women that go out with me, all right? You must have sex with me tonight. But I want you to understand something. I mean that in the most respectful way.
Ted, I don't understand how anything out of your mouth has been respectful at all. And some women who have called in
haven't really been attacking you,
but you've turned it into this argument.
No, that lady told me that
Ted,
she wished I died in my electrified fence.
How old are you, Ted?
I'm 50 years old. Hey, hold on. Before you start saying, oh, it's too old for me,
I bring the lumber. Are you in the same caliber as I am, Ted? Can you keep up with me?
I'm Ted Bell.
You know, because everything's handed to me on a silver platter.
I'm Ted Bell.
You're Ted Bell.
Yeah.
I've never heard of you.
Bring some of your girlfriends.
You know, I don't think my girlfriends would be real impressed either.
Well, I got to tell you something, okay? If you're not impressed by $25 million, I don't know what's going to impress you, okay?
Ted, you know what? Ted, that doesn't compare to some of the people that I go to school with. I mean, you don't get it. It's like
Let me jump in here. I need to jump in. This is Phil Henry. The last woman from Indianapolis, you said you wanted to go to her house and hike her skirt over her hips. Now you're saying this girl's got to have sex with you.
Yeah, like what is this?
It's It's a quarter to six. I got to line something up, okay?
Ted.
It's a quarter to six. I got to line.
This is absolutely.
You are out of line, Ted, okay?
It's
Ted,
not,
you know, honestly.
It is natural for a rich man to want to bet a 21-year-old college co-ed. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. It's totally normal. And I, you know, I think you're missing a great shot here. But okay, if you say no, you say no.
Okay, hey, Ted.
You want to go for it?
I really apologize. I think we've gotten off the track of your.
Are you in a
sorority? I'm going to have a lotto show and teach everyone how to spend their money.
Are you in a sorority?
Get over the embarrassment, Ted. If you own a restaurant and they embarrass you when they come into your restaurant, you say, I'm sorry. I have the right to refuse service. Be mature, be adult about it, and get on with your life.
All right, I want to ask a question.
Don't go home and sulk about this new money person who just won the lotto and came in and doesn't know how to use their money.
That's true, but I got to ask Phil Hendry.
Who cares?
I got to ask Phil Hendry a question.
What?
You told me that if I got a radio show, that I'd get more ass than a rental car, and now all of a sudden that
I did not tell you that.
Yeah, who the
I
hell
never
told
said
you that?
I never told you.
He doesn't say that.
Bull crap, because I heard Phil Hendry told me that, and now I've got a radio show. Did you hear that? And I have $25 million, and I asked you to go to bed with me, and you said no. How dare you? I'm Ted Bell.
And Ted, you got a lot to learn. And oh, by
Ted,
the way,
guess what? That's like me telling you, how dare you don't want to go to bed with me.
And
I'm this 21.
By the way, Ted, you're married.
Girl,
I'm what?
You're married.
Oh, and I have everything,
it.
And I don't
Never
need
mind.
Your money, Ted. I have my own.
He hung up.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here on a gorgeous whatever day it is. It's payday, I know that. And I got the direct deposit, and I can pay for one more thing. One more thing. I can just keep the wolf away from the door one more day. Because you'd think you keep maybe a little bit of dough in the bank. I can't do that. It just goes sailing out. 47 and I have no future. 47. And if anything happened, anything bad happened to me, my family would be out on the street. I'm Phil Hendry. Now, you know what I had to do is one of those shows, those investment shows. There was a cat that was on the air a number of years ago. Maybe I shouldn't mention his name because I never know who's going to sue me. But there was a guy on the air a few years ago, and he had an investment show. He had a stocks and bonds investment show, and the guy would give advice. And what he would do is he would say, well, what you got to do is you got to invest your money into privatized cemeteries because that's where it's at, a privately owned cemetery where you can park grandpa, where you can take some guy and stick him in a hole in the ground, and you make off with the cash. This is the way to go. What you didn't know was that guy owned a piece of the privatized cemetery that he was recommending, and somehow he was doing something illegal. Is that illegal? Oh, he didn't tell people. That's what was illegal about it. So they blew him off the air. He was on in New York. I don't want to say his name. Do you know who I'm talking about? No, of course not. Well, in any event, he used to have a lot of ads, real weird, kind of a syndicated thing I think he did, but this cat was off the air. I thought, boy, that's the way to go. The other way I got to go, and let me tell you, here's the way to go for me. These broadcast workshops. Now, I don't want to say who, but there's a guy who, you know, he's over at the church where Maria and the kids go to church. I say Maria and the kids because I haven't seen the inside of a church in so very long. But it's good that the kids have religion in their life. It gives them something to reject later on. Anyway, this guy is over there, and he's doing a baseball camp. You know, so-and-so, Joe Blow's baseball camp. Bring the kids out, baby. And they sign up for, like, I don't know, man, like a G? A couple of G's, they'll sign up for, you know, 8 weeks of baseball camp. What I can do is the Phil Hendry Broadcast Workshop. I talk Craig into letting me use the studios for 2 days a week. I charge the, you know, get a bunch of kids in here who think I'm really special and they want to do all kinds of goofy crap like we do. And, you know, and then they bug their parents and their parents fork over. Because a lot of these kids, you know, they're like in Beverly Hills, whatever. Parents fork over, say, 10 G's a kid. Let's say I get only six kids. That's 60 grand. I'm using this joint. Okay, this is a microphone, okay? You want to feel it? You want to touch it right here? There it is. See, it's long and hard. And, all right, no, I'm just kidding about that one. This is a real microphone here. I was just kidding about that. No, and this is a control board. See, that's up and down. And, well, Mr. Hendry, how do you, you know, do all the stuff you do? Well, I can't tell you that. But anyway, let me take you over to Jim Rome's studio, and he'll show you. No, Bill Handel will be on tomorrow morning. He'll show you how to punch that button. So you do that, and guess what, Schaefer? I was about to call you Frazier. Can I change your last name to Frazier? Just it suits you. We've made ourselves a cool 100 G's, 10 kids at 10 G's a kid. Let's say it's 5 G's. See, some of these camps, the rich parents will pay out large dollars for the kid to go to a broadcast workshop for like 3 weeks, $5,000 a kid, intensive broadcast workshop. I'll take 3 weeks off in the summer. I get $5,000 a kid. You know I can get at least 20 kids. So there's $100,000. I take three, you know, after taxes, 60. I split it with nobody. I keep it. You guys come in and help me for free. Perfect. That's how you do it. So baseball camps, broadcast workshops, all of that kind of thing. Buyer beware, because there's guys like me running them. Okay? All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Why don't we just go back to the unofficial status that we had? We had all these wonderful unofficial sites. Now, granted, you can't make any money off of them if they're unofficial. But they're good. They're done with some love and some care. You got a call from who asking for... You got a call from Patrick asking for stuff for the audio files.
For the website.
For the website. They keep that updated, and my appreciation to Patrick and those guys, but they don't update anything else, the news and rumors thing. It looks tired. And so I've decided to sort of let that go and go back to just talking. And I love to talk about some of these sites that some of our fans put up. They're nice, and they're interesting, and they have all kinds of stuff there. Anyway. What was I going to say? Something about the website. Well, that you can still pick up the Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD there for $23.50, $3.50. Shipping and handling, $20 for the CD. Communism is Neat is the name of our CD. Schaefer did a broadcast workshop with a very prominent Los Angeles radio personality, $250 for 6 weeks. And he actually met people, broadcasters and stuff. But he never went into a studio. He just sat in a classroom. See, if you're going to send your kid to any of these things, keep in mind... keep in mind that you want the kid to get a lot out of this thing. A lot of people, like myself, would just as soon sit there in his living room, have about 20 kids come in there, and I'll talk for an hour, and that'll be $1,000 worth. I don't want to work. It just isn't anything that I'd like to do right now, but I would like to make some money. In this broadcast workshop thing, that's the way to go. Now, Schaefer was telling me that he went to a broadcast workshop with one of these people here in L.A., and it was $250 for 6 weeks, and people came in and talked about programming and talked about promotions and talked about all of this stuff, and Mike raised his hand and asked the promotion guy, do you need any interns? And he said, yeah. So Mike found himself working for free, passing out keychains for the next 3 years. Atta baby Mike. Way to do it, baby. Now, what I'd like to do is institute an intern program for our show. Bring in interns, work on our show, and you'll have to pay me. It's not going to be an intern in terms of not getting paid. It's even worse than that. You got to give me $1,000, and you can sit here and take my abuse for 30 days. Go get lunch, listen to me scream and yell and rant and rave and howl with indignation about lesser lights and lesser talents than me making more money, and you'll do that for 30 days, and then see how you like it. See how you like the broadcast business. You can go get lunch, and by God, we eat that around here in spades, man. I didn't say with spades. I said we eat lunch in spades. I didn't say we eat lunch out of spades. I said we eat lunch. Pollo Loco, across the street at Sicily, down the street at Ruben's Red Hots, go on down to Steve's Bigger Subs, go on down here to the corner in the liquor store, get a couple of sandwiches wrapped in plastic, whatever, go get it. Then when you're done with that, go make some dubs for Craig. Then when you're done with that, hang around in the office and look at a wall. You will never, never want to be in radio after a Phil Hendry broadcast workshop. Guaranteed. You want to know why? Because I can't stand this business. I hate it. I see the unfair things that go on around me. But it won't be long, baby. It ain't going to be long. Soon, big things are going to be popping. Pretty soon, they won't be able to ignore us any longer. Soon, some very, very large rumbling and shaking will go on in this business with regard to this program. And everybody that didn't believe in us, you're going to be so sorry. You're going to be like those cats in Sodom and Gomorrah, man. Freaking hellfire is going to rain down on you. Everybody that thought we were flash in the pan, everybody that thought that this show couldn't last, everybody that thought it didn't belong on a nationally syndicated basis, everybody that thought that Phil Hendry didn't have any real talent, anybody that thought all of those bad things that you think about when you ain't anything going on in your life, so you want somebody else to suffer too, you'll see, you'll pay. You'll be sorry. But until then, we need that Phil Henry intern. So who wants to intern on my show and pay me a grand for the next 30 days? You will be intimately involved in the development and workings and the goings-ons of this radio show. You must be female. And, okay. Built. Short skirts. No hose. And I'm sorry, but only Anglo-Saxon applicants. Now, although you could do, you could dye your hair red, but then what about the eyes? You got to get, blue contacts. There you go. I'm sorry, I've gone down that road before. I have had several minority girlfriends, and it's led only to disaster. Not that I didn't enjoy my time with women of color, fine Latin women, one Asian gal, but I'm with a white woman now. You want to know why? I'm going to tell you something, and this is true. Honest to God, this is true. You always return to your own kind. When it comes to being married, when it comes to making the final decision of your life where you'll be married for the rest of your life, you always return to your own people. It's like when I was going out with, I used to date Jewish girls, and they thought that going out with a Goyish boyfriend was very exciting, these Gentile guys, they ride around on motorcycles, and they know how to duke it out. But when time comes, they go back to a nice Jewish boy, they get married, and that's that, and that's fine. Same thing with me. I was raised Catholic, I'm not anymore, but it's nice to know I can go home to a nice Catholic girl with blonde hair, green eyes, and, she's a little bit of Mexican in her, but not so you'd notice. But I come from California, so I'm used to that. And you do. You go back to your... you think I'm joking around. You do. You return. It happened to me. I was very much in love with this Jewish girl from Northern California, and she made no bones about it. She said, well, if we're going to get married, my religion's very important to me and all of this. You will not bring a Christmas tree into my home. We, celebrate Hanukkah. I said, well, that's cool. I'm not very religious anyway. But it turned out, when push came to shove, we had these issues. And I got pissed off at her, and I brought a pork roast home and threw it into her kosher refrigerator. And something about she had to set fire to her house after that. I don't know. It was something. She had to purify the kitchen, so I set fire to the house. That's what happened. And she won't speak to me now. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.